live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another edition of Sports Byline. And a very interesting hour coming up. I'll tell you about it in just a second. But if you have not heard, the Miami Marlins might have some new famous owners. There are reports that a group led by New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter and former Florida governor and presidential hopeful Jeb Bush have won the bidding for the Marlins. And those reports have not been confirmed, but the price tag on winning the bidding for the Marlins is reported to be $1.3 billion. Now, think about that for just a second, because Jeff Loria, who bought the team, he bought it for, I think, a little bit over $100 million. And now he's selling it, and it hasn't been that long ago, for $1.3 billion. So if you ever wonder why people are in the bidding for professional franchises, all you have to do is think about $1.3 billion. So again, that's the word that's coming out of Florida. By the way, on the next Sports Byline, Terry Funk is going to be with us. And so if you're a wrestling fan, you want to join us for that. Howard Balzer will be with us. As you know, on Thursday, they're going to start off the NFL draft. That'll be in Philadelphia. They've never done it there before, at least not in the modern time. So we'll have our NFL draft preview with Howard on the next Sports Byline. And then Steve Vucinich will be with us. Now, you don't even recognize that name, but I can tell you he has been in baseball for some 50 years. He's the second longest tenured person in the A's organization, and he is the clubhouse manager and equipment manager. That's what he's been doing. And when the club moved to the Oakland area back in 1967-68, he became a bat boy to begin with and then became the equipment manager and also a clubhouse manager as well. So we will talk to him. Very interesting perspective of the game. Mike Brown is standing by to join us. Mike, of course, has taken over for Steve Kerr as the coach of the Golden State Warriors, and boy, did they destroy Portland last night. So we will be spending some time talking about his career. He has more than 14 years as being an NBA coach and experience in both a head coach and assistant. And we'll also be talking to Crash Gladys of the Speed Freaks, a show on Sports Byline on the weekend. If you haven't heard, Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced his retirement from racing at the end of this season. We're ready to crank it up. Mike Brown next for you on Sports Byline.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
You know, time flies. I could practically tell my life story in t-shirts. I designed them all online with custom ink. My travel softball team jersey, senior year homecoming hoodie, all my family vacations. Even my wedding favors snuck in here. Guess I'm going to need a bigger drawer.
Celebrate your next event with custom group shirts, apparel, and more from Custom Ink. Designing is fun and easy. For all of life's events, choose Custom Ink. Your designs, quality products, free shipping. Start designing today at CustomInk.com.
This is America's sports talk show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Mike Brown joins us on Sports Byline. He owns more than 14 years of NBA coaching experience as both a head coach and an assistant. And twice he was the head coach of the Cavaliers and also was the head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers. And in his first stint with the Cavs, he led them to their first ever NBA Finals appearance and was named the NBA Coach of the Year after guiding Cleveland to a franchise record 66 wins. Cleveland won at least 50 games in four of his first five seasons with the Cleveland Cavaliers. One thing else I know about you is that you were born in Columbus, Ohio, but you spent a lot of time in Germany. Your dad was an Air Force guy, and I've talked to other athletes that come from military family like I did as well. There is something about growing up in a military family that I think is different than any other experience for other kids. Can you help me out here in understanding it?
No, yeah, there's no doubt. You know, the first thing is I think because you travel so much and you're in so many different countries, states, however you want to call it, you got to constantly make new friends because you're changing schools. You get cultured real quickly because you come across a lot of cultures. And then also going into new experiences as an adult, there's nothing fearful about it, you know. Making new friends, there's nothing fearful about it because you had to do it your whole life growing up with your parents being in the military and you moving so much. So, you know, that moving tends to be a pain in your mind when you're younger, but it pays off huge dividends as you grow because there are a lot of experiences that you lean back or fall back on from your time in the from your time growing up in the military that can help you going forward in your adult life.
I think also it makes you more adaptable, and I know you're going to agree with that because of just what you just said, and also the cultures, it opens your mind. What did you learn from that experience that you still apply today in your life?
You know, for me, any business that you're in, it's all about relationships, and I know that moving from school to school growing up, if you wanted to stay involved in you know, different activities at the school and different sports teams, and you wanted to have friends, you had to figure out how to develop relationships quickly because you could possibly be in a location just for a year, and then you're moving again, sometimes 2 years, and you're moving again. So, you know, the relationship aspect is something that I always found was a unique thing because when you go from school to school, usually the culture in the school or the way of thinking with most of the kids in the school is a little bit different than the one that you just came from. So you had to be able to figure out how to handle or get new relationships quickly and foster those into long-term deals.
I know you're someone who is very exact in what you do, very organized, and the discipline and organization that comes from a military upbringing, I think, is also something that has affected you. Am I right about that observation?
Yeah, you know, it's correct. My dad, you know, with him being in the military for 26, 27 years, he's very disciplined in a lot of different ways. He's extremely organized with whatever he does. And that has rubbed off on me quite a bit, almost to a point where I have a little bit of OCD. I'm blaming my military father on that because I watched him do a lot of things and take his time doing them until they are as accurate or correct as they could be.
Yeah, your son, Elijah, said he'll never admit he has obsessive-compulsive disorder, but he really does. How does that... Because I'm the same way. I have to have pencils in line. If I see something on the floor, I can't walk away from it. So I know exactly, and I think it was the military background. Because I think you know as well as I do, Mike, I've said this publicly before, the greatest discrimination I have ever found has been in the military. Because you know, if you're a non-commissioned officer, you live in NCO housing. If you're an officer,
correct,
you live in officer housing. You have an officer's club. You have an NCO club. And I think that kind of rubs off on you a little bit.
No doubt. It does rub off on you. And you know what? I'm glad it did, because it's helped me tremendously in my career. I tell people, when people have asked me, well, how have you gotten the experiences that you've gotten and reached the level that you've attained? And I said, you know, everybody in our business, I feel, is smart. And there's probably a lot of people that are way smarter than I am. But I know I'm a driver, and if something doesn't feel right, well, I haven't exhausted all of the options of something that I'm trying to learn or get better in, then I'll keep at it. And that, to me, is a testament of growing up in the military, just, you know, being persistent, having a certain drive to be able to accomplish whatever task is in front of you. And I credit that to my dad. And while you're doing that, being organized definitely helps. So, you know, even if you may not know what you're doing, it looks like you know what you're doing.
I know you didn't play pro basketball, so then how would you describe your path to pro basketball?
You know, I was fortunate, lucky, blessed, however you want to call it. I went to one preseason NBA game prior to working in the NBA my entire time growing up. And when I got to the University of San Diego, Hank Egan was our head coach. We were about to head to the airport. On my last road trip as a senior, it took me 4.5 years to graduate. I was going to work as a graduate assistant the last semester of my schooling and then try to get into law school. I wanted to be a lawyer. I stopped by coach's office, and on his coffee table was a USD magazine. And on the front cover of the USD magazine was a picture of Bernie Bickerstaff. I was a little surprised by it, but I read the article, and lo and behold, I found out not only did Bernie play at USD back in the day, but he coached there. And then he went from there to being an assistant coach in the pros. And so, long story short, my coach ended up getting me an unpaid internship. Hank Egan ended up getting me an unpaid internship with Bernie that summer. And I went out. My parents took care of me financially. I just loved being there. At the end of the summer, Bernie called me in his office. He used to call me Young Buck for the longest. He still does every once in a while, but called me into his office, gave me a check for $1,500, and offered me a job as a video coordinator. Initially, I turned it down, and because he asked why. I said I had to finish school, and USD was paying for my tuition, so he had the assistant coaches do the video work until I got back out there at the end of the semester, which was December 15th, and that's how I started my NBA career.
You have coached with and for Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, Bernie Bickerstaff, and Steve Kerr. In your observations of those head coaches, what is it that's common with them? What is it that makes them good? What is it that makes it possible for them to be head coaches in pro basketball?
Yeah, there's two things. They have a great feel, not necessarily all of them for the game, but they have a great feel for the group, which is a unique thing to have. 'Cause again, no matter what business you're in, it's about relationships. And they have a unique sense or a unique feel for the entire group, not just two or three guys on a team or one or two assistant coaches, but the entire team, coaching staff, plus the front office. And then they all have great communication skills. They're all able to communicate very well their thoughts, whether it's about X's and O's, on-the-court stuff, off-the-court stuff. They're able to communicate their thoughts very well with whoever they're around.
You know as well as I do, Mike, that there is a real challenge. I mean, it's one thing to be an assistant coach. You're closer to the players. You communicate a little bit more with them than maybe a head coach does. The head coach is a step away. He relies on his assistants. How hard is it to make that step from assistant to head coach?
You know, it's bigger than what people think, and mainly because you have a lot more responsibility or a lot more things to worry about. I know as a head coach, you're responsible for bringing in your entire staff. And with the size of the staffs nowadays, that could be up to 5 coaches and 3 player development guys and, 2 or 3 video coordinators, a scout, and, a basketball ops guy. So that's roughly, 10 to 12 people that you could be possibly responsible for bringing in. And, you always worry about if something goes wrong, which is in the NBA, it's similar to growing up or working in the military. You know that there's nothing that's forever in the NBA. Being Greg Popovich is a unique thing. Being Phil Jackson is a unique thing. But the long-term stays for coaches in the NBA are basically non-existent. So you're moving every 3 years. Well, as a head coach, you don't want that day to come, not necessarily for you because financially you're well taken care of, but for all of the people, all of the families that you brought to this new city or to this new team. And so that's constantly in the back of your head, and knowing that, and knowing you got to win, and knowing that there's going to be individual problems off the floor, individual problems on the floor, team problems in both directions. There's just a lot more to deal with. So you don't necessarily have the time that an assistant coach may have to foster individual relationships with certain guys on the team.
Very insightful conversation with a very talented coach, Mike Brown. He has been a head coach in the NBA on 2 occasions, twice with Cleveland, once with the Los Angeles Lakers. Fine defensive specialist as well, assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big 5 stores near you.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. Offer details, license terms, and conditions available at secureathome.com.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Mike Brown is with us, again, assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, but he's been the head coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers on two occasions and went to the NBA Finals, taking the Cavs to their first NBA Final, and then, of course, with the Los Angeles Lakers as well. One of the other things I'm interested in, you always hear it talked about that, players are making all this type of money, and so you can't fire the players. But I'm wondering about how a coach establishes himself to get the respect that he needs to have so that they will listen to him when he is coaching them. That's always a very unique situation. Give me some insight to that, Mike.
I tell you what, Ron, the biggest thing that you have to, in my opinion, be with a group of NBA players, and I'm sure it's this way across the board, is you have to be upfront and honest. Most of these guys are extremely competitive individuals, and more than the money, for most of them, not all of them, more than the money, they want to win, and they want to win at a high level because they know all of their peers have money, but not all of their peers have championship rings, or not all of their peers have success in the NBA at a high level. And so they want to be able to walk around, like most of us, with their chest puffed out just a little bit, knowing that they are the cream of the crop. And, that is a good group of guys to be the cream of the crop of. So if you're honest and upfront with most NBA players, looking them in the eye, and you're trying to do the right thing for the group, that garners their respect, which will allow you to coach them.
I think, and this is an observation on my part, so feel free to correct me if you think I'm wrong, you have coached some of the NBA's greatest players, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Shaq, Dwight Howard, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. And I think everybody pretty much knows that you don't treat everybody equally on your roster. I mean, you have to accommodate, you have to interact with them in different ways because they have different egos, different personalities. I find that area of professional sports and professional basketball to be fascinating. When you coach those type of players, how did you approach that type of challenge?
You hit it right on the head. You can't coach everybody the same. You can't have everybody do the same thing, but you have to be consistent and fair with what you do. And again, most guys, they're intelligent guys. They have an understanding of how this thing works. But if a guy like that is not doing his job, you have to make sure you let him know, and sometimes in front of the group, in order to not only continue to coach him and help him get better and get his respect, but most importantly, to get the rest of the group's respect. I'll never forget when I went to San Antonio as an assistant coach, my first year there, we were three games into the regular season, and something how we turned the ball over. It was Tim Duncan that turned the ball over, and Pop called a timeout right away. And usually as coaches, you go to the free throw line to huddle up, let the players sit down, take a breath, talk amongst one another, and then we get to the huddle as a coaching staff. Well, Pop didn't come to the free throw line. He went straight to the huddle. He put his chair right in front of Timmy, and he commenced to saying, "Timmy, bleep, 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 bleep." Ron, I was like, "Oh my gosh! I just moved to San Antonio, and I'm about to get fired." I was scared to death. I'm like, "Pop is just tearing Timmy up and down and left and right." And you know what? Timmy respected him for it, and the rest of the team did too, because Timmy was wrong with what he did out on the floor, and so Pop needed to correct it and let Timmy know in front of not only Tim, but the rest of the team, so hopefully he could change what he did next time down the floor.
Was that a challenge for you in Cleveland? Because the reports out of Cleveland was that LeBron wasn't particularly happy with you. I don't know whether those reports were true or not, but I would think that when you have somebody of the stature of LeBron and maybe even Kobe, that you really have to be very careful when you take them on. One, you don't want to embarrass them in front of their teammates, and the other, you're trying to get a point across, but yet you don't want to be malleable where they think that they can control you.
No, see, hey, it's the ironic part about it. It was far from the truth. When I first had LeBron, he was 2 years out of high school, and he hadn't won anything at that point in time. And so he was really young and really impressionable at that time, especially when we started winning right away. Our first year, we went to the second round of the playoffs. So he went from being in the NBA 2 years out of high school, playing in the regular season, and the season ended. Our first year, we go to the second round, and it was like that or better almost every other year that we were together. So he was very easy to coach. He actually was the one that I put up on video more than anybody else, because I wanted people to see that if I could correct LeBron and he can handle it the right way, then for me, it was very easy to go tell Mo Williams or Drew Gooden or Zdrunas Ilgauskas or whoever else was on the team what I thought they were doing wrong. So, being young at that time, still being impressionable, being with LeBron was a good thing.
You know, the other thing I've always heard, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, as far as the great players like the ones I mentioned, what's the commonality of them? Because Michael Jordan once said to me, Mike, he said, when the game is on the line, Ron, I want to be the one to determine the outcome. If I fail, I'll take the blame. If I succeed, I want the glory. And I think, you know, in life in general, people are afraid sometimes to take the blame for something. Is that a commonality among all the great ones?
Well, I think there's two things that are common amongst the great ones. It's intelligence or feel. You know, either way, everybody that I've been around that I thought was a great player was extremely intelligent or had a great feel for the game on both ends. And then a competitiveness or drive. Those two things, those two, competitiveness or drive, and then intelligence or feel, those two things, to me, were common amongst all of the greats. There were some players that I've been around that were great players that may not necessarily want to take the shot at the end of the game, or at times may not want the ball in their hands at the end of the game. But that did not mean by no stretch that they weren't great players or they're not great players. So, I do think those two areas are huge for somebody that already has some talent to be great.
I take a look at the Golden State Warriors, of course, winning a championship, going to the finals and everything, and how well they played, setting a record for most wins in a season. And I think back to the, again, Chicago Bulls when Michael was there, their championship years, and I see a commonality, but I'm really impressed with the Warriors simply because the fact that they have so many quality players to be able to get them all to buy into the script and be comfortable with it, it goes beyond what I saw with the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls had Michael, they had Scottie, they had the Worm, and then they had the cast of characters, including Steve Kerr. How have they made it work, and how did they make it work with the Golden State Warriors?
I've been in this business a long time, and as a matter of fact, since 1992, and I've come across some great owners and guys that have done wonders not only for their teams but for the cities and states they've been in. But the two guys here, Peter and Joe, they're fantastic owners. Then you go to Bobby Myers and Steve Kerr. So I think it starts from the top and it trickles down. And when you have quality people like that that are leading the organization, they tend to go find quality people to be a part of it. And that's what they've done with the players that they've assembled on the staff. You know, you have guys like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. I mean, I can go on and on with the type of men that are on this team or the makeup of this team. And it's easy, especially once you become a part of it, it's easy to see why guys aren't concerned about their numbers or guys are extremely happy for their teammates or happy when we win and we play the right way. So the buy-in starting from the top on down and basically ending with Steve, because he's the one that has to manipulate all this, is very easy because of the quality leadership group that we have and the quality people that are a part of this organization.
We have a little bit over a minute left, Mike, and I want to ask you, I mentioned you were a defensive specialist, and I remember a conversation I had with Dennis Johnson, the late Dennis Johnson, and I asked him about defense, and I said, tell me what makes it so good when you play it well. He said, it's an attitude. He said, I want to let a guy I'm guarding know that in the fourth quarter I'm going to climb inside his jersey and he's going to fight me all the way. Is it an attitude more than anything else?
It's one of the great ones. And so when I look at some of the great guys on the defensive end that I coached, starting with Draymond Green, Bruce Bowen, you know, those guys have a certain attitude that they know that they want to let their opponent know that they're going to be inside their jersey for 48 minutes. And it's going to get harder as the game goes along. And so for the great ones, yes, I think in their individual defense coupled with their team defense is about attitude. But I think you can be a great team defensive unit if you have five guys that are on the same page and that really want to help each other when things break down, because guys are too good in the NBA. Stuff will break down, and you got to be able to know how to react to any type of breakdown that you have on the defense end of the floor as a group, not as an individual, but as a group.
Mike, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I hope we have more of them, and I also hope you'll come back at some point and spend more time with me here on Sports Byline. It's been just very insightful for me. Thank you, Mike.
Well, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Mike Brown, again, assistant with the Golden State Warriors, but he has been very successful. He is a very tenacious type of guy. He understands detail, and he's a perfect head coach, I think, as well as an assistant coach. Head coach twice with the Cavs and then once with the Lakers. We continue across the country and around the world on America's Sports Talk Show.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. By now, you know all too well that SR22 auto insurance is way more than you'd ever want to pay. You probably thought you didn't have a choice, but you were wrong. Our company specializes in low-cost, very affordable SR22 auto insurance for high-risk drivers. We know that mistakes happen, so take pride in being able to offer absolutely free quotes for this very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. We're standing by at 800-758-0725. The only thing you need to do is stop waiting around while your monthly payments stay as high as they are. Our knowledgeable representatives are ready for your call at 800-758-0725. The quote is free, and we'll even handle the filings so you could start saving money every month even sooner. Call 800-758-0725. That's 800-758-0725. Once more, 800-758-0725.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
The big announcement today in sports, probably, especially if you're a NASCAR fan, is that the name Earnhardt will no longer be driving after this season. I'm referring to Dale Earnhardt Jr. He announced today that he is retiring at the end of the season. We have a great motorsports show on Sports Byline. It's called Speed Freaks, and Crash Gladys is one of the main, I guess, holders of the title there, along with her husband, who hosts the show on Sundays on sport. I don't even know how to describe it. You guys are a little bit on the nut side, but I got to tell you, when it comes to motorsports information and personality, you guys are on top of it better than anybody else, Crash.
Well, thank you. And I don't know about this a little bit on the nut side. We pride ourselves on being a lot on the nut side.
Well, I was afraid that if somebody heard that, they'd send men in little white jackets down to where you broadcast on the weekend.
Oh, good point. Okay, we'll be a little just for this time.
Let's talk a little bit about the announcement. Was it a surprise? Because I've had a feeling ever since last season when he had to sit out for a part of the year with the concussion problem that maybe this was forthcoming.
Yes, it was not really a surprise to Kenny, Statman, and myself, the three of us on Speed Freaks, because this is something we predicted as soon as the doctors led on to how severe his concussion was last year, and even him getting double vision, talking about Dale Jr. getting double vision, and having that very long recovery period. Basically, in the summer, once he had his accident, he was out the rest of the season. And that's a long time to really think about what's important in life. And Dale Jr. has talked about that, whether it was at the NASCAR Awards Banquet in Las Vegas in December, or some of his testing in this offseason, or back at Daytona in February. He has made mention many times of how he has had a lot of time to stop and think about what's really important in life, his new marriage, his wife Amy, his family and friends, and just making people happy. Dale Jr. is, there are a lot of similarities to him as a person, not just a driver, but a person, to another retired NASCAR driver that kind of shocked the industry at the beginning of the season, Carl Edwards. Both of them, winning and getting trophies is not important to them. Yes, they're happy when they're in the cockpit of a race car, especially in a stock car, and driving around. And when wins come, there's no better feeling than that. But what matters most to both of them is making the people around them happy. That's what they really, that's the Jones that they get to go on in life. And Dale had a time, you know, when he was off last season to really realize that. And so, yes, those of us on Speed Freaks, we started thinking, this might be it. We may never see him in a race car again. I think I was more shocked to hear that he was coming back for this 2017 season than I was this morning when I woke up to hear that he's finally making it official and retiring. Granted, the timing is a little strange, but, hey, I just knew it was coming sooner or later.
You know, you mentioned about Edwards, and now we have Dale Earnhardt Jr. There have been other drivers that have retired recently, and I suppose it's all part of the evolution, and I guess we could call it maturity. You think about what you're doing, you think about where you want to go, and all of a sudden you realize there's got to be more to life than just this, and you take in the element of the danger element as well, and I think all of this adds to drivers probably making decisions to retire a little bit earlier in their career than maybe some of the old timers did. Am I correct in that observation?
Absolutely. Plus, I will say something that's been nice for athletes, maybe not just NASCAR, but all athletes in general, is financial contracts have been much better over the last 10 years, and maybe even a little bit longer than they were back in the day. So it's a little easier for drivers to say, okay, I've got my finances in order. I'm okay. I don't need to run a race in order to collect the winnings from that race. So I'm okay. So yeah, I think athletes in general are making decisions of what's important in life and maybe health concerns. I mean, we're seeing it in the NFL at a pace that I don't think anybody thought that they would be seeing it these last maybe 18 months. And you're right, the same in NASCAR. Drivers like Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, now Dale Earnhardt Jr., arguably four of the top drivers in that sport. So it comes with having a little bit of confidence financially and then knowing, yes, there's more to life than a sport, in this case, than racing.
I also think that there's another element here, and that is the fact that as a driver, you're no longer a one-trick pony. We've seen other drivers come off the track and go into owning their own teams and managing their own teams, and I think that that's an element that's come into play as well.
Oh, without question. And it's funny, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was asked about that in his press conference today when he officially announced his retirement for all of the media. I believe it was at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And he does have an Xfinity team, and he will continue to run that Xfinity team. Excuse me. Others asked him if he would like to step up in the future to the NASCAR Cup side, the Monster Energy Cup side. And immediately his sister, who co-runs the Xfinity team with him, started shaking her head. And so he goes, well, I guess that about answers it. Nope, we probably won't have a Cup team anytime in the near future. But it's not just because he enjoys his Xfinity team. It's also because he has car dealerships around the country. He's got one that he just launched in Tallahassee, Florida, with the help of his current team owner, Rick Hendrick, and that's becoming really successful. He wants to take his Whiskey Row brand, which is a bar that he owns in Charlotte, and he's starting to move that around the country. He wants to make that grow a lot bigger. So we really may not see Dale Jr. as a cup owner in NASCAR, but we're not going to not see Dale Jr. He's got TV opportunities that may come, and with all the other things he's doing branding-wise, whether it's in the car dealership business or on his podcast or with just anything else, we're going to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. for a long time in other facets of the world.
Dale Jr. is 42. He has 26 wins and 603 starts. Is probably a likely Hall of Fame career there, including Daytona victories, Daytona 500 victories in 2004, 2014. He has also earned 14 consecutive NASCAR Sprint Most Popular Driver Awards. What is his legacy, do you think?
Dale Earnhardt Jr., the first thing that comes to mind for me is how he helped NASCAR evolve into a sport that captured the millennial viewership. And that's something that the sport might have struggled doing without him. He became a guy that was so relatable to a younger generation, and it was a generation that didn't quite understand NASCAR. But because he was on MTV Crib, and he was in country music videos, and he was in heavy metal videos, all of a sudden he got this crossover appeal that just made people want to follow him no matter where he went. And it didn't matter if he drove a race car. They just thought he was cool. But then they followed him because of his race car career. So I think that his biggest legacy in NASCAR, it's funny because it's been an argument on Twitter today. No, he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He's never won a championship in the Cup Series. I don't think that matters because his legacy is he brought millions of eyeballs to the sport that I don't believe the sport would have without him. So I think he helped the sport change in a good way.
Crash, you know his personality probably better than I do. You guys have talked to him a number of times, and I thought one statement he made probably sums him up and the decision better than anything else. He said, "I just wanted to be able to make that decision myself on retiring and not have it made for me." Knowing his personality, does that sum it up pretty good?
Without question. I mean, this, like we've touched on earlier, this was bouncing around in his head all throughout the second half of last season. And getting back in the car this January for some tests before Daytona, that was awesome. And it got his race car juices going again, his driver juices going. He said today that 18 months ago, he was the driver that would wake up early in the morning and complain on Twitter that he had to be awake at 8:30 in the morning for practice. Now, because he got this renewed opportunity, he's happy to be up in the morning for practice. But at the same time, there's just that little thing in the back of his head going, you know what, though? But I'm so happy right now, maybe this should be the end. Because I've been contemplating the end for a while, and now that I'm happy, why not go out on top when I'm at my happiest and actually appreciating the sport as much as I possibly can?
With Earnhardt's retirement, you mentioned Carl Edwards, you mentioned some of the others that have retired recently. What about the image of NASCAR? Because these guys were tied so much to the image of NASCAR. Is this going to be a transition period for the sport?
Without question, it will be. And I don't really think that that's the fault of NASCAR. I think that for some reason, the NASCAR fan base is so loyal that sometimes change is very difficult for them. I mean, it's nice that they're loyal to their sponsors that are in the series. Sponsors love that. But they're also so loyal to their drivers that it hurts to have a massive change like these big names that have retired. So I think if fans just need to take a breath and realize that there is so much talent still coming through the ranks, that it's okay to not have a Dale Jr. or a Jeff Gordon or a Tony Stewart or a Carl Edwards in the sport anymore. We've got Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson. Get to know those guys because they are the next generation. And it wasn't more than just 15 years ago that people were upset that there's, or 15, 20 years ago, that there was no Richard Petty, no Dale Earnhardt Sr. It's like, come on, we got over that. We're going to get over this. It's just sometimes the change seems like it's going to be difficult, but if you embrace the change, it's going to be okay. Unfortunately, yes, NASCAR is going to go through some growing pains here, but it's going to be okay in the long run.
I'm going to ask you a layman's question because a restrictor plate or anything else, I'm not that familiar with, but you will know this. But one of the things that has concerned me about NASCAR is they've tinkered with the rules and adjusted the formats and everything. And I get very concerned because they're concerned about the audience numbers for television. And I feel that maybe they're doing some things that are confusing the audience and maybe turning them off a little bit. Now, that's a layman's observation. What do you think about that?
No, I don't think that's far off of reality at all. It's tough. It's something that all sanctioning bodies, all sanctioning series, and all of sports need to really be careful about balancing. I mean, baseball's going through it right now because baseball games are so long. And so when you're dealing with the new clock that they've formulated and trying to, you know, quicken up the pace of the game, it upsets your core fan base. And yeah, things change as time moves on. People get busier with their lives. They need races. They need baseball games. They need football games. Texas football games are getting to be too long these days. People don't have as much time in their day anymore. They're busier. So yeah, you need to find a way to evolve as society evolves and to kind of compact your game, your race. But at the same time, you don't want to frustrate your fans who, yeah, they don't want to see you tinkering with the rule book every single year and changing the way races look on TV and changing the way the cars look and how they react to certain applications on the track. So yeah, it's a tough balance for series in general, but you've got to change a little bit. You've got to evolve to keep the current way of people taking in their sports. You've got to change to make those things, you know, continue to be happy, but at the same time not confuse your core base that doesn't care about change. It's really a tough balance.
What's the early handicapping on who jumps into the cockpit of the car next year?
You know, a lot of people, we put a poll out there, Speed Freaks account on Twitter, we put a poll out there, and Alex Bowman just started running away with who people think is going to be in his car. Because, of course, Alex Bowman filled in for Dale Jr. last season when he was out, for most of the races when he was out. But I just have this funny feeling in the back of my head that Ryan Blaney might get the seat. And I know Ryan Blaney is not a Chevy driver right now. And, of course, coming into the Hendrick stables, you're going to have to be a Chevy driver. But Ryan Blaney and Dale Earnhardt Jr. are very good friends. So if Dale Earnhardt Jr. has any say-so himself as to who takes over the 88, I have a feeling he's going to be pushing for Blaney. And who knows, maybe Chevy's going to push for Bowman, but it very well may come down to those two.
Is a contributing factor to his decision to retire in the back of his mind about his dad being killed in the Daytona 500 many years ago?
You know, I really don't think so. It took him a long time to overcome that. But I think just in general, it's his own personal health that he's focused on. He came to terms with his father losing his life on the track many, many years ago. Gosh, it's 2017 now, more than 10 years ago. I mean, who knows? It might just be a tiny bit in the back of his mind, but it was his own personal health and being able to just like you said earlier, go out on his own terms and just worry about himself. He's now married, his own health. What does he want for his future? I mean, his dad had kids a heck of a lot earlier in life than Dale Jr. will be having if he does go that route, which it seems like he wants to. So, yeah, again, I just still think 99.9% of it was his own personal health.
We have 1 minute left. When you think back on his career, is there an image in your mind of something you've seen him do on the track or in the sport that you'll just always remember?
To be honest, it's kind of like his dad, and they did it anonymously. On track, yeah, they've got that legacy sealed. They were both great drivers, but it's the off-track stuff. It's all the children's charity work that never got into press releases or, you know, helping fans when they were down that never makes it into a newspaper blurb. It's the stuff that's anonymous, and that's what the Earnhardts have been known for. His sister Kelly, you know, all the Earnhardts, to be honest, they're all that way. Carrie, you name it. So it's a very big-hearted family. And that, I think, is the ultimate legacy that hey, I hope everybody's proud of.
Crash, that's why you and the rest of the crew at Speed Freaks are the best in the business and here on the Sports Byline Network on Sundays. I thank you, dear, and give my best to everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Crash Gladys with us here on Sports Byline, part of the crew that you hear on Sundays in Speed Freaks. And if you're interested in motorsports, NASCAR or NHRA or motorcycle racing or anything, you can catch it and get it all right here on Speed Freaks. And again, if you haven't heard, Dale Earnhardt Jr. announcing today that he's retiring at the end of the season. And he said, at a very young age, I always wanted to do what I've been doing, and that is being able to make a living driving cars. I didn't set goals. I didn't dream of winning championships, Daytona 500s, or working with one of the best owners in the business. I just wanted to be able to do it. I've accomplished way more than I ever dreamed, way more than I ever thought I would accomplish, so I'm good on that front. We've got you on Sports Byline.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And that's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. Mike Brown filling in for Steve Kerr as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, coming off a big four-game sweep over Portland. In the last two, he was the head coach on the sideline because of Steve Kerr's continued problems with his back and his health. And he owns more than 14 years of NBA coaching experience as both a head coach and assistant. Twice he was the head coach of the Cavaliers and also was the head coach of the Lakers. And then we talked about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. retirement announcement today. Dale will step aside, and that'll be at the end of the 2017 season with Crash Gladys, who is part of our Speed Freak show, which you hear on the Sports Byline Network on Sundays. I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us on America's Sports Talk Show.
Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7. A special news and update station you control. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk.